1320 WILS. My next guest says that, look, for all the talk of the problems we face in this country and the disharmony, particularly between the two political parties, he's really all about solutions, and he's got a few. Stephen Dynan joins us. He's the author of the brand new book, Sacred America, Sacred World, Fulfilling Our Mission in Service to All. Stephen, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, now you are part of the Institute for, is it Noetic Sciences?
At one point, yeah, and I have my own company now, the Shift Network, which serves people around the world.
Shift Network. What are Noetic Sciences?
Noetic Sciences are really the study of consciousness and the deeper ways of knowing. You can think of intuition and mystical knowing. It's created by an astronaut, Edgar Mitchell, who had a spiritual experience on the way back from the moon and realized that there was more that could be studied by science than just what was currently in the labs. And so he started studying psychic abilities and a lot of other things that are really outside the normal paradigm of science.
What's the most incredible thing you've seen in studying Noetic Sciences?
What's the most incredible thing?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that's fascinating is relates to there's a set of sensors around the world that are basically random event generators, and normally it's just 0101011100. So it's kind of creating random numbers all the time. But during times when we're all focused in a very particular direction, it could be for something like the Olympics, or it could be something like the O.J. Simpson trial, something where there's a lot of simultaneous focus in one direction, the random event generators around the world become less random.
Okay.
So you actually create more coherence, and it actually starts to show up in a very interesting way. And so you can map sometimes when there's major tragedies or major sporting events or big funerals.
So what does that mean in terms of what's actually happening to cause that?
Well, the theory is that somehow that when you have coherent attention, meaning we're all focused in a similar direction, that actually creates more coherence on a very almost like molecular level, and it creates less randomness.
Okay, which would mean what? If things are less random?
On a certain level, it means that we're more interconnected than we once thought, because when we're all paying attention in the same direction, it starts to show up on these machines.
Okay. Fascinating stuff. By the way, Stephen Dynan, author of the new book, Sacred America, Sacred World. And are you saying that these kinds of principles can be put into place for our own country?
Well, I think that they connect in the sense that there's a lot of these emerging sciences showing that we are more interconnected than we once thought, that there's a oneness at our core, that we're not just separate individuals, but we're linked.
Do you think like the internet, is that helping that process?
Yeah, and in some ways people talk about the internet as a manifestation of our interconnection, and it kind of has reinforced it in different ways. And so we're moving toward this era where we feel more interconnected, and the truth is we're more biologically interconnected, environment, internet.
Some would say, though, the whole process of social media has only split us up more, because we go into our own little worlds where we get our media from our own particular sources. What would you say to that?
Well, I think there's a truth in that. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is that the danger is right now is that we've become, we're losing some of our unity as a people. We're forgetting that we're the United States of America. We're becoming the red states versus blue states, or the red culture versus blue culture. And we start just listening to the media and listening to the facts and listening to people that think like us. And then we rehearse our opinions and we're kind of doing battle with each other.
Yeah.
And
so how do we resolve that? Because look, I mean, people that don't like Donald Trump, from what I can tell, really don't like him. And the same goes for Hillary Clinton. It's visceral and it's deep. How do you resolve that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you don't start necessarily at the level of like, okay, the first step is you're going to have to love Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. But I think what we want to do is like not start to create, start to break up marriages and friendships and families and communities over this. We want to remember that that everybody's got a right to their political opinion, that there's different views of how we create a democracy, and that we need to like be curious about each other's perspectives and not just go immediately to snap judgments.
Well, what if the perspective is that Donald Trump is going to destroy the country, or Hillary Clinton would be the worst president we've ever had?
Well, that's why I'm saying don't necessarily start there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you feel like that's the polarization there is in danger of breaking something up, Then we want to start by having a conversation like, you know, what are the real roots of where, how you see the world? Why do you believe what you want to believe? What it, you know, why are you Republican? Why are you a Democrat? And so there's a curiosity and a humanness that gets built, because what happens is when we're just talking to and thinking like people who already think like us, then we can start to create a caricature of the other side, and that also like creates separation. And then it, ultimately what that does is it undermines our creativity. So to use a counterexample, so right now, Van Jones, who's a prominent progressive, is partnered up with Newt Gingrich, obviously a prominent conservative, who is on something called Cut 50, which is an initiative to reduce prison populations by 50%. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming at it from two different angles. One is the more progressive social justice angle. Newt is coming at it from more of a fiscal responsibility and reducing the tax burden perspective. Right. But they're finding common ground. And so,
But they're both high profile. Who knows? They probably make some money out of the whole deal. But when you tell me this, by the way, Stephen Dinan, the book Sacred America, Sacred World, for people who really, you know, are comfortable with their beliefs, know they're right, are certain they're right, and on both sides, how do you really begin that process of connecting them to the opposite side?
Well, I think that there's a lot of different ways to do it. I think it can happen very personally. It's just a curiosity. So, like, I used to be much more strong progressive and really sort of demonize in many ways people who are more conservative. And eventually I realized I was creating a lot of problems, and it wasn't actually helping me think more deeply about things or come to better conclusions or ultimately learn from conservatives. And so I took it upon myself to read more. I read more from the right now. When Sarah Palin used to get under my skin, I read both of her books. I took on my conservative Republican stepfather, became a mentor to me, and I really began to see that it's like we shortchange ourselves when we're only trying to think like and learn like certain.
Have you become more conservative? Is that what you're saying?
What I feel like I've become is I've integrated more conservative principles in how I do things. Like I feel like financial responsibility and self responsibility and a certain more patience with the pace of change has come as a result of that. And I've also a deeper appreciation for traditions and values and the glue that keeps our society together.
So let me ask you then, when that happens, do you look back at some of your progressive ideas and say, well, you know, that was kind of off the mark?
You know, I don't see it as an either-or thing. I think a lot of times that's the way we think about politics, is either this or that. But I think oftentimes it's more of a both-and, is that there's truth and value in both sides and both perspectives, and oftentimes principles that we can learn from. And so what I'm more interested in growth in general for individually or our society. And so
is this the last thing
we really need? The best of both worlds.
Is this the last thing our political parties want to see happening?
Well, perhaps, and that's part of the problem, because the political parties have gotten more into what's best for the party rather than what's for the best for the American people. And that's really the problem that's paralyzing our government right now. It's like, that's why we have to remember that we actually are the United States of America, that we're united in a deeper way, and to treat each other with more sacred respect and honor and really listen.
Okay, the two issues that I can tell you, and we've done so many interviews, but really there's nothing, no common ground, and never really a productive conversation. Gun control, and then occasionally we talk about abortion. When you look at issues like that, how do you see us in any way connecting there?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert on how to do that in those particular areas, but I can tell you some principles that you can apply. Is that one of the things that one of the areas that you can potentially work with gun control? It has to do with less preventing people from having guns, but more ensuring that there's another level of responsibility for the impacts of the gun. So, for instance, if there was if people were to buy a gun and have it be unsecured, and then it's essentially taken by a criminal, commits a crime with it, there could be some liability for the person who basically didn't secure their firearm. Okay. It's a kind of personal responsibility. It's saying, you know what, if you're going to have this powerful, potentially deadly thing around, you got to take responsibility for that, and we're going to have some incentives. So, you know, there's different ways that you could do that. It's like you have to pay a fine, for instance, if you lose your weapon and it ends up in somebody's hands we don't want it to have it in. Because the real issue, the real crux of the gun issue has to do with people having guns who don't have a legitimate or don't have the best interests of society at heart, you know, whether it's terrorists or domestic terrorists or, right. or other terrorists. And so I think that's where the common ground could come, is like basically applying the more right-leaning sensibility around personal responsibility to the issue of taking you know, really ensuring the safety and responsibility of the firearms,
yeah.
but not necessarily restricting their access.
It's Stephen Dinan, the brand new book, Sacred America, Sacred World, Fulfilling Our Mission and Service to All. There is another way. Come together, and Stephen outlines in great detail in the new book. Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yep.